Hello there and welcome to the programme. What a weekend we have ahead. In both codes and across all four provinces, the championship is unfolding at a rate of knots. It's hard to keep up with it all, but we'll definitely stay the pace. That's the glory of the championship. Yeah, and joining me now on the line to chat about the huge Gaelic football games this weekend is Aaron Kernan, the former Cross McGlin and Armagh player. Aaron, you're very welcome to the show.
Damien, good to chat to you as always.
Always good to chat to you, Aaron. Massive, massive weekend. We start in your native province. There's only one place to start, really. We've about seven or eight games to get through, but let's start with Derry versus Donegal. Just your thoughts on that, Aaron, based on what you've seen from both sides this year, albeit in different divisions in the league.
Yeah, well, to be fair, whenever Jimmy came back on board with Donegal and you knew what the championship draw ahead was, and given his previous in management, it was definitely one game that was flagged from way out that it was one to look forward to. But if you assess how the two teams have gone throughout the National League, while Donegal got promotion back to Division 1 and did so quite comfortably and ended up winning the National League Division 2, with whatever four or five regular starters missing, you were thinking, yeah, that's positive from they're in a good late. But an hour and a half later, or throw in the extra time, and to see the level that Dublin and Derry operated at, and just the level of, I suppose, everything really, the power, the skill levels, how tactically smart Derry were. But what impressed me most about them was they nearly blew the National League twice, and yet they still found a way to go ahead and win it and had the resolve to do it on penalties. So I just think psychologically and mentally for that group, the level of confidence that they will take from being able to do what they did against a Dublin team that had been going really well throughout the league, not a Dublin team that was just maybe coasted along. They had been playing some exceptional football and had huge form going into it, even without a lot of regulars. But that would, to me, that will stand Derry really well. The back-to-back Ulster champions at this stage, but I firmly believe, and so does many people in the country, by looking at them, think that they're definitely a much improved side in terms of how they play, but then also the options they have coming off the bench.
100%. Well summarised. Defenders scoring, more subs to call upon rather than to maybe trust the 17 or 18. For Donegal then, Aaron, what's a good outing for them tomorrow night at Celtic Park? It's early in the Jim McGuinness project, promotion already achieved. He has always had a good innings against Mickey Hart, Jim McGuinness has, but what will they be looking for tomorrow night? So,
well, he's been quiet about the whole thing, but Jimmy brings intrigue. He always did. And you just expect him to do something different. And that you mentioned, that rivalry between him and Mickey Hart, that's what his whole first term in management was built upon, was getting one over Mickey Hart and his Tyrone team. And as luck would have it, Mickey Hart's Derry team's the first one he comes up against. So they're underdogs. He only really has them about 8 or 9 months. So I know so does Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin only have Derry, but like the amount of spade work that was done for maybe the 4 years previous has this Derry team just on a different level as far as I'm concerned, just in terms of everything. That I think Jimmy has a bit of work to do, and the way the championship season or the league now compared to what it was whenever he took over back in 2011, it's much more condensed, more rushed, maybe not as much time to work on whatever it is, whether it's fitness or tactics with him. So he'll have found a big change in what he can do now compared to what he previously did. But given everything that he has always done, I firmly believe he will have something. He will throw something different tomorrow. He has to come at it with something different tomorrow to try and see if he can ask questions of this Derry team that puts them under pressure to give themselves an opportunity coming down the stretch.
Yeah, because
The difficult part is that Derry are so comfortable at sitting back and pairing you off one-on-one, but then they have developed a more kicking and a more offensive game this year, which means they can hurt you if you really press up on them. So seeing how he tries to counterbalance that is what I suppose everyone's looking forward to.
Yeah, looking forward to it myself. Early on in the league, Donegal were fluid and attacked, maybe to set in a bit as the league went on. It'd be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. Is there Is there a shock in the making in Breffni, Kingspan Breffni, on Sunday in the other quarter final, Cavan and Tyrone? And when I say a shock, I mean a Cavan win. It might not be a massive shock to many people. How do you see this? Or can you see Tyrone maybe resetting themselves and getting the win?
No, I can see Tyrone resetting themselves. I think if you just think back a couple of weeks and the Hayden that they took from Dublin and Croke Park, that might be a lot about what we're thinking in terms of our judgment. But I just flip it back a week prior to that there, where Monaghan come to town in Oma, and it was a must-win game for both teams. The conditions were poor, but I have to say I was really impressed with how Tyrone played that night. Their style of football, again, a bit like Derry, well able to match it now. They're not a sitting-back defensive counter-attacking team. To try to get the ball to Canavan McCurry as quickly as he can. They're using the foot. So that would be more the Tyrone that I would be picturing in my head will be ready come championship.
And Paddy Lynch will be well marked, Aaron.
He will. Yeah. He will for sure. And I suppose while Cavan were unbelievably brave and took their goal opportunities really well and could have had a couple more, the fact that they only ended up kicking 4 points from play from the starting 15, that would be a concern from me. Also, I seen them in the league against Armagh the second last weekend where they had an opportunity, if they beat Armagh at Letterground, that they could have went up on a head-to-head over Armagh, and Armagh comfortably beat them. Fermanagh then beat them. So I think there is a bit of middle ground there where the sort of form lanes to me, I think if Tyrone McKernan didn't play at the latter end of the league, Con Kilpatrick was missing. Peter Hart has been in and out with injuries. Matty Donnelly was only coming back. So it all depends how well they have recovered in terms of those injuries. But I think if Tyrone have a full team available to pick from, I think they have a few new players that I don't think they've added a huge amount in terms of taking on leadership roles or going to be the main players. But the likes of Niall Devlin, the likes of Ben Gallen, Sean O'Donnell in particular, those boys breaking into the team, they're comfortable, they're easy on the ball in terms of whenever they're defending and they're attacking. The leadership and the main roles and the go-to men will still go to the more experienced players, but bringing those boys in, it just brings a freshness to the team. It brings more competition for places, and maybe some of your older players who thought that I'm a regular, I'm going to start, they're dropping down the pecking order and having to prove themselves and make impacts coming on as sub. So I think the likes of those three boys in particular will have them that to just have a wee bit more energy about the squad than maybe what they have done since they've won that All-Ireland in 2020.
Okay, so by your reckoning, I'd say Tyrone and Derry for those games. Just listening to you, we move to Connacht now, Aaron. Sligo and Galway on Saturday in Markievicz Park, and then Roscommon and Mayo in the Hyde on Sunday. Just what McEntee's doing with Sligo is quietly impressive, building all the time. Galway had 21 injuries at one stage, and they haven't been shy about letting people know that either. How do you see it? If Galway get their full pelt, you'd say they have a great chance, I would imagine.
Yeah, like if Galway have a full squad and everyone's fit, they would be up there with all Ireland contenders because they have the ability to mix and match their game in terms of defensively. They had been very sound and obviously have X factor up front. But I've never seen a team hemorrhage injuries like they have, and particularly key players. So I definitely see this one, like last year as well, in the double figures in the Connacht final. But for instance, it was like Matthew Tierney ran riot in that game. Mm. He hasn't been there of late. Sligo couldn't get a handle on him at all. And I know an awful lot of what Sligo were annoyed over last year was literally unforced errors where they were just giving the ball back to Galway, and the quality of Galway, they were punishing them. But I think given the injury level that Galway have had, and I think, like you mentioned, how well Sligo maintained the Division 3 status with maybe a kick of a ball in a couple of games, they could have put themselves in a position to be going up and getting promoted. Okay. So I definitely see this one being much closer. But being honest, I can't see Sligo. They won't have the quality, even with the injuries that Galway have, to get the win. But definitely them competing much better. Cutting way down on the unforced errors, I think, will be something that they'll really be going after. And then the fact that they went into Sam Maguire last year, they didn't have an opportunity to Tailteann Cup, where I think this time around and they could be very well placed to go and give it a rattle.
And on Sunday then, would you feel Roscommon will just maybe be a little bit off the mark against Mayo?
I do. I think they went in. It was a shock last year that they beat Mayo, given that Mayo were Division 1 champions. But Roscommon were in much better form this time around. I think just between injuries, the St Bridges thing seemed to derail them, and they never really caught form since then. And I think just with Mayo needing a win that bit more, okay, having that bit more of a bit between their teeth given last year's result, I would see them, even though it isn't Hyde Park, I still think that they'll have enough to go and get the win. Don't think there'll be much in it,
okay,
but I still think that they'll have enough quality for it.
Lastly then, finally then, Aaron, we switched to Munster, two games there, just maybe a line on each, Waterford and Clare in Farhill Field. Waterford with their first championship win under the belt since 2010, and Kerry versus Cork in Killarney. Just a line on each, Aaron, please.
Brilliant to see Waterford getting the result that they did, but I just think Clare will have that bit too much quality, and likewise Cork will be looking to close the gap again on Kerry. But I think ultimately in Killarney and the scoring power Kerry have, I think they'll have too much again to see that one out.
Aaron, thanks so much for your time as always, and we chat to you in the coming weeks again.
Cheers, Damien.
Yeah, that's Aaron Kernan there. Now let's catch up with one of the players who unfortunately has to sit out this weekend. Sligo's Pat Spillane, what an impact he's made since he's joined the Yates County.
I think we're improving all the time, to be honest. We look back at a couple of the results in the league and say we potentially left points behind us, particularly the Clare and Offaly games. We finished the league with a super result against Westmeath, who ultimately went on to win the division. So that's brought us a lot of confidence. And I think the main thing for us is just the young players we've integrated into the team this year have been absolutely brilliant. On and off the pitch, they're great lads, and they're having an impact in their first year, which is brilliant. Hopefully there'll be more next year again.
It's a condensed championship. I guess you've been asked this question so many times, but from your perspective, split season, and you've seen the benefits of both club and county. Have we got the balance right? Is it tough on you guys that play to a high level at club and go straight into the county? Or is there a little gap needed somewhere along the line?
Yeah, to be honest, there's definitely pros and cons to it. Like, I'll be looking forward to the couple of weeks off before I go back in with the club, which wouldn't have been possible in the previous system. I suppose from my own perspective, my injury is a load-induced injury. And you think back, maybe if I had a little bit more time off before going back in with the county, would it have happened or would it not? But I don't know what the perfect system looks like. It's difficult. I think one of the things maybe we need to look at is a little bit more recovery time in between games. You look at the example of Westmeath having 5 games on the trot, which is, you know, it's a tough ask. So, pros and cons to it.
Galway, they've been dogged by injuries as well, but they're still Galway, and if they got everybody back, they're one of the top teams in Ireland. That's a massive game, and I know a lot of talk about the provinces maybe not being as relevant as they once were, but I guess for you guys, a game like this, it's just a massive one to frame your season, really, you know, no matter what happens.
It is. It's a huge game for us, Galway are obviously a top side, played them in the Connacht final last year. You know, disappointed, I suppose, with our performance on the day, but, you know, there was positives from it as well. And I think we hung in there for the first 15, 20 minutes until, you know, some of the self-inflicted errors turned the game on its head. But we're looking forward to it. We took a lot from playing the top Division 1 teams last year in the All-Ireland Championship. And I suppose we took a lot of confidence from it too, that we can play at that level. So, you know, hopefully we can put in a good performance.
Yeah. Pat Spillane, AIB GAA ambassador there, and Pat was talking to me as AIB launched its sponsorship of the 2024 GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Okay, let's take a quick time out as Championship 24 rocks on. Let's remember where we all came from. Back in 1884, the GAA was founded by 7 men in Thurles. One of those was journalist John McKay. And this weekend, Croke Park will welcome the oldest surviving relative of the GAA founding fathers, Patrick McKay, who is the great-grandson of John McKay. John was the first secretary of the GAA alongside Michael Husek and John Wise Power. He was an athlete and a journalist with the Irish News and then the Cork Examiner. And joining us on the line now to tell us more of Patrick's visit is renowned historian Donal McInallen, who discovered this precious link.
That's correct. In 2009, the 125 Years Committee was looking to commemorate the 7 main founders of the association, but nobody really knew anything about John McKay for certain. It was thought maybe he was in Cork, maybe from Belfast, but nobody knew where he was buried and when indeed he died. And then after some efforts with some help, I managed to establish that he was from Downpatrick area and had died in 1923 in London, and he was in an unmarked grave in Kensal Green. The GAA then paid for the erection of a gravestone, and there was a big event then for that. But I wasn't entirely happy that we had found some distant relatives, but we hadn't found the direct line. And in the intermittent 14, 15 years, I always wanted to make sure there was somebody who could claim the grave as their own bloodline, who could really appreciate it, that it was their family. And Back in 2018, 2018, I found out there had been great grandsons born. There had been a bit of tragedy in the family, and there had been, for most years between, I thought there were no direct descendants, but I kept trying. A coincidental reference in a theatrical newspaper in 1929 made me aware that there was a grandson, and then I found out through Ancestry there were two great grandsons born in 1950-51, but I couldn't find any trace of them after that, after their baptism, until last December, around the time just after the centenary of John McKay's death, and there was an event in London, and I went online and I had gone around the streets of London to Fulham. And I, from Fulham Broadway, as I approached the house where the great-grandsons had been raised early years, the streets were amazing. Clonmel Road, Tipperary, where the GA was formed, Rostreva Road, County Down, where McKay was from, Munster Avenue, perpendicular to the residence where McKay had been the main man in the first 2 years of the GA, and then Burnford Avenue, which is a village in Ulster. There was something about this that was serendipitous. I went home, searched, not by name on the online newspaper archives, but by address, and I found, in the last result, a letter in 1982 in the Fulham Chronicle from Mrs. K. Priest to to the Fulham Chronicle, referring to her son, Patrick McKay, having run the London Marathon, and they were now in the Isle of Wight. And from that, I was able to trace them and then got speaking to Patrick in December.
Patrick, to turn to you, when Donal McInallen, Patrick, otherwise known as Magnum PI, contacted you, What sort of a reaction did you have? Had you any insight into your family's illustrious history?
None whatsoever. I was under the impression that I had Scottish heritage, had no idea about the Irish connection at all.
When the enormity of your great granddad's story was put to you, what was your reaction?
Amazed. Bit of shock, as usual. But then as I got into it and started to learn more, it just opened up a whole new world of what this guy had done, had achieved, and basically what he had put in progress, and still continues.
You've got a view of Croke Park this morning, Patrick. How proud are you to be there? How proud are you of your family's impact on the GEA?
Extremely proud. It's obviously, being an Englishman, I quite like Twickenham, but this is even better, I think, bearing in mind all the history of it.
Yeah, I think it is better. Last word
to you.
There's
a story that I don't know if Patrick was going to say it there, but there's an amazing story that on his one previous visit to Ireland in 1957, there's one photograph surviving. He went over to see a maternal relation, and that there's a picture from that in front of the St. Patrick statue in Kilkenny, and there he is with his brother, both holding Camons. But in the 66 years from then, and he never visited again till the time I spoke to him, he had no idea of the link between the Camon and the family, or what the significance of that would be.
Wow. Well, Donal and Patrick, all I can say is congratulations to both of you, Donal, on your investigative work, and Patrick, thanks to you and your family for the huge impact you've had in the GEA. Enjoy your visit, Patrick. Thanks to you and Donal for your time today on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Damien.
Okay, thanks very much, Donal. And now, delighted to be joined on the phone by three-time All-Star, the great Noel Connors from Waterford, to look over what is a cracking weekend of hurling action. Noel, are you really looking forward to this?
Yeah, super excited. I mean, it's hard to believe we're at a championship stage of the year already, and it's not even May.
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, look, let's get straight into it, Noel. Clare versus Limerick, there's no getting away from that game in Cusack Park on Sunday at 2 o'clock. The place will be absolutely mobbed, up to 20,000 people there, I believe, in the new capacity. How do you see this game going? Clare are the informed team. Limerick haven't beaten themselves, but sure, Limerick or Limerick at the same time.
Yeah, and do you know what's funny about it, Damien? It appears to be like that Clare and Limerick are... It's nearly a given at this moment that Clare and Limerick will get through the Munster Championship. So it's a wonder, really, are both teams going to go hammer and tongs at it, because the Munster Championship is incredibly competitive. And so are they going to want to show their full hand?
It's dangerous if they don't, no.
Yeah, it is. And it's probably more important for Clare to win, obviously, with home advantage. But the natural assumption is, for people that have watched the Munster Championship and watched the league this year, that Clare and Limerick appear to be slightly ahead of Cork, Tipperary and Waterford. So despite the fact that if either team win or lose, obviously, it's not going to be the be-all and end-all, which is a strange, you know, start to the Munster Championship. Now, again, that's my perspective, but slightly different than what we're used to.
Okay. would if you were to give either team a nod, would you go for Clare home advantage, or does it really matter in Munster?
Yeah, I know that you should never really judge off stats, but if you're judging off stats, you have to say it'll be Clare based on home advantage. Going to Ennis is not a particularly nice place to go if you're not from Clare, so you'd have to just slightly give it to Clare after a great league performance, in fairness. And in last year, again, they were super. Just even looking at their bench, like Rory Hayes, great to see Tony Kelly back on the bench.
He's back in the 26, no?
Dave McInerney. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's an incredible bench. Most other teams would be chomping at the bit to have all of those guys that I just mentioned on their first 15. So it's great to see such a strong bench, because we've always discussed about Limerick and what they bring in at halftime or just after halftime to really change the flow of the game.
Just go to your own county then, taking on Cork. You're hosting Cork and Walsh Park. You know, Cork had a decent league. A lot of people felt they didn't do a whole lot wrong last year, but still didn't get out of Munster. It's been probably slightly different for your own county, Noel. A lot of talk going on around, maybe it's not where it should be. But then you hear lately then that Davey's happy with how things are going and maybe very, very hopeful of a win. How do you see this game, Waterford and Cork and Walsh Park?
It's a very difficult one. Even during the week, I was reading where Pat Flynn, the secretary of the county board, coming out and basically mentioning that we didn't actually sell enough tickets in Waterford, and they went back onto public sale, which is very disappointing given the fact it'll be the first match held in Welsh Park, in the redevelopment Welsh Park. Mm. And a lot of Waterford fans were obviously a bit frustrated last year that we didn't have any home games. In terms of Waterford, it's a very hard one to know. It appeared that we had quite a lot of injuries over the league campaign, a couple of new faces, which is obviously hugely important. So it's very hard to gauge where Waterford are. In terms of Cork, they appear to be far more developed and obviously are a lot further down the track. It's great to see like Mark Coleman back. Obviously, Patrick Horgan is still doing his thing and probably will line out a full forward. But even if you look at their bench too, they have the likes of Luke Mead, which offers something slightly different. I really like Robbie O'Flynn. I think he's very direct. Incredible pace and was fantastic last year, but just kind of picks up a number of injuries. But overall, like, it's a very hard one to know where Waterford are, and it genuinely wouldn't surprise me if Waterford get a win out of this. It's great to see the likes of Tighe back after a long injury since, I think it was the Limerick match last year, the first round. Eoghan Daly was injured for a long period of time. Kevin Manny is obviously named centre forward. It's very hard to see what he starts centre forward. Caleb Lyons, the rumours were last week or before last in Waterford that he was injured, and he's name wing forward. I don't think I've ever seen him play wing forward. So it's a very hard one to know where Waterford are. But the one thing about Davey is, and it's just not a, it's to be aware that he will bring something very different. And we saw that against Tipperary last year in the last round of the Munster Championship.
Yeah, just maybe before we leave this game, Pat Ryan has said that, like, you're looking for three goals nearly to be sure. Well, not to be sure of winning a game, but of any chance of winning a game. So Davey will have that in mind, but he'd also have to come up with a plan to watch the rear guard, but get the necessary firepower sparking for Waterford too. Is that where the balance lies, the conundrum lies for Waterford on Sunday?
Yeah, and I suppose the one, challenge I think for Waterford over the last, since the league, was we haven't been particularly good at scoring goals, which is obviously a huge challenge, particularly when you come up against, the likes of your Clares and Limerick, who are very potent in around the goal. Waterford will need a massive performance, but to be fair to them, they appear to have the players. Like, it's even great to see, look down at their bench and see the likes of Patrick Kearns, Patrick Fitz, even the likes of Paddy Levy, who has had a good league campaign, to be named on the bench. So there is a nice bit of firepower there. The likes of Jack Fagan obviously been named on the bench. I do think Jack will probably start. Mm. But they will definitely need a goal or two to beat Cork. Okay. And I don't know, I was even just reflecting over the last few days. The league now, because it's so condensed and it runs more or less straight into the Championship, it's becoming harder and harder to gauge where teams are at. And you could say the same for your own county, Tipperary. Mm. It's very hard to know where Waterford are at, and indeed Tipperary at. And it's based on the fact that managers are trying very different things, because Championship is quite literally around the corner. You look at Clare and Kilkenny, it only seems like last week where they were playing, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where they played the league final, and they're straight into a very competitive Championship. So the league in the past was obviously far more sporadic, where they had a longer break into it. Whereas now, managers need to be aware and players need to be aware and manage players and manage expectations and game plans. So it's becoming more and more difficult to gauge where teams are at.
Yeah, very, very interesting point, because just previously to you on the show, Aaron Curran mentioned that, you know, Jimmy Guinness always comes with something new, but this year, because there's so many games, he won't have had the time he normally had in, as a previous manager, to build his project or build his team. Games are coming thick and fast. And in this regard, Joe McDonagh Cup is up running this weekend too. Laois and Offaly, Westmeath and Kerry, we look very closely at that competition as it unfolds as well. Would you agree, Noel, though, in Leinster senior hurling, maybe it's easier to call the tree than it is in Munster? So this weekend, just take a look at these games. Kilkenny and Antrim, you'd imagine be straightforward. Galway and Carlow, you know, Carlow are improving the whole time, but you'd imagine that'd be straightforward. The big game then in Shadwick's Wexford Park, Keith Rossiter's project, Wexford against Dublin. Can you see anything other than the home win there, Noel?
You'd have to say so. And in fairness, like, I was very impressed with Wexford, particularly against Waterford. They seem to have quite a lot of young lads playing. And it's really refreshing, particularly for the older lads. I see the likes of Lee and a few others coming out during the week and discussing similar. But you have to say, I completely agree with your point, Damon. Like, the Leinster Championship doesn't necessarily seem to be competitive. And just to put it away and back to maybe Aaron Kernan's specialist theory, you look at the Leinster Football Championship, it's probably very similar. Maybe not to the extent of one dominant team, but you'd have to say, like, that you're looking at, again, Kilkenny, Galway, and more likely Wexford to come out. Whereas if you look at the Munster Championship, it's actually a difficult one to call, albeit you'll assume that Limerick and Clare will come out. Mm. But last year, Limerick were very lucky to come out. So it's a very different thing. And for without trying to reel back in the years, we've always discussed about before the change in Galway was added to Leinster, it was more or less one game for Kilkenny before they either won or got through to an Ireland semi-final or quarter-final, and that was against Wexford. So it appears Munster seem to have quite a number of weeks from the 21st, which is obviously Sunday, all the way through to the 26th, a very short month where they quite literally tear loves out of each other, where it doesn't appear to be the same in Leinster.
Okay, Noel, thanks so much for the few words. Look forward to chatting to you as the season goes on. Thanks a million, Noel.
Thanks a million, Damon. Have a good one.
Yeah, that's Noel Connors there, 3-time All-Star for Waterford. What a player he was. And that's it for the show, folks. Hope you enjoyed the weekend ahead. It's a busy one. Massive thanks to our producer, John Farrell. Mark Dwyer was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler, mind yourselves, and thanks a million for listening.